Welcome back at Dinner Wing and Lifestyles. You know, we talk a lot about cancers. There's a lot of cancers out there. And one of the scariest types are the hidden cancers, those that are not easily detected. And some of those have seen, sadly, increasing instances of occurrence. And this morning, we're going to talk to Audra Moran, President and CEO of the Ovarian Cancer Research Alliance. And she's going to talk a little bit about a new consortium to with Microsoft. So, President Moran, Audra, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
The idea of these, you know, I guess I call them hidden cancers because some cancers present themselves easier. Some, you know, like colon cancer now have ways where you can get in and find things early detection. Some are not as easy. So talk a little bit about ovarian cancer and why it's such a concerning cancer and where the battle against ovarian cancer stands.
Yes. Well, you're absolutely right. Some cancers are easier to detect, or there actually are methods of detection, and that's one of the problems with ovarian cancer. There is no method of early detection currently, and they even believe now, scientists think that we may need to know at least 5 years before symptoms even present, which is a long time. That's why we're so excited about AI and the possibilities of AI, because I think that we need new technology, clearly, in order to get where we need to be. But ovarian cancer is the deadliest of the gynecologic cancers, and it's the fifth leading cause of cancer death in women. And unfortunately, worldwide, if things stay the way they are, it's actually on the rise. And by 2050, they're predicting, I mean, not doubling of cases, but it's about another additional 200,000 cases a year, which is just not acceptable. And the survival rate is about 50% after 5 years, and that's awesome, just not acceptable.
It is scary. You know, so many cancers, again, they don't present themselves until you're late, because there have been so many breakthroughs in the fight against cancer on so many fronts. But, you know, you say the word cancer, and people think it's one thing, and it's literally thousands of different things. And
You are so absolutely right, yes. Yeah.
And one of the scary things is, like, you see things like pancreatic cancer where they only have a 14% survival rate when it's found because they almost always find it in stage four. When you're fighting against ovarian cancer, how often are they able to spot this prior to stage three or stage four?
Well, you know, they actually just did a really large study in the UK, over 200,000 people, and it was almost a 30-year study, and it was really definitive. They were actually able to identify ovarian cancer at least one full stage earlier. And so in many cases, they were identifying it 18 months prior to symptom onset. And so it was stage two or three, in some cases, stage one. And what they found is that it didn't matter. It didn't impact survival rates. And basically, no matter when you were diagnosed, the mortality benefit, there's no mortality benefit to knowing that in that time frame. And that's when they ascertained that we'd have to know so much earlier than 18 months. Probably at least 5 years prior to even having symptoms.
So talk a little bit about what's happening with Microsoft, because obviously, you know, technology is our friend. We've changed the way. I mean, a few years ago, one of the members of the air staff here at one of our radio stations, her son needed to have a brain procedure, and they did the procedure through AI, where they practiced the procedure first, and they troubleshot something that was going to happen. They realized there was going to be something happening during the surgery that they couldn't have discovered prior. They did the surgery a couple of times prior through AI and realized it was going to be a brain bleed that they could address. So when they went in there, it happened, and they were able to address it. It's amazing what you can do with artificial intelligence in troubleshooting and everything. So talk a little bit about Microsoft's AI health launch grant, because this is pretty big news.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've had a partnership. Ovarian Cancer Research Alliance has had a partnership with Microsoft's AI for Good Lab for several years. And they basically lent us their computing power. They give us Azure credits. I don't even know what that means, but it's wonderful. And so we've been able to actually highlight AI. I know. I'm like, Azure, that sounds great. No, they've been so generous to basically match our grants with their Azure credits. And so we've created an entire program for AI researchers, and we've encouraged people to apply. This year, we've partnered with three other countries to come together and form a consortium to do this $1 million grant for AI research with international collaboration, and AI, the AI Health Lab at Microsoft has agreed to match that with $1 million of in-kind compute power, as they call it. And so it's game-changing. Microsoft has just been so generous and so wonderful, and they actually approached us because they just wanted to help. And I thought that was incredible.
You know, a lot of people beat up on billionaires and stuff, but what folks at Microsoft, especially, you know, Bill Gates over the years, he's committed to basically giving away all his money to make a difference in the world. And things like this kind of illustrate that point, that there's a lot of people doing a lot of very good work.
Absolutely. And I mean, I love to tell the story, but someone reached out to me on LinkedIn from the lab and they're like, would you like our help? And I'm like, this has to be a joke. Who would write me on LinkedIn? And it was really Microsoft. And I thought that was really fabulous, that that's their philosophy. We can do good and we'd like to help.
The idea of, a cancer like this, so many times you say to yourself, well, I'm sure there's a lot of easy signs to notice. If you do certain things, you probably definitely are going to have some type of a red flag when dealing with certain cancers. There are red flags. What are some of the things people will know or signs that people might look at or take more seriously to kind of give because look, you should always trust your body. People always talk about the fact that when their body has something going on, they kind of can feel something is wrong. But are there signs of ovarian cancer? Are there certain things people should be watching for that kind of they should say, I should have a conversation with my doctor?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the problem is with ovarian cancer is that the signs are so vague. And so, especially it's a women's disease and, bloating. That happens to many women every month.
Right.
Trouble, difficulty eating or feeling full too fast. I mean, these are things that frequent urination. I mean, it would be, basically it takes a long time for people to realize, right? Because it doesn't seem abnormal until it does. So we always encourage people to pay attention to their body, to talk to their doctor if they're concerned. But unfortunately, with what we found with these really big studies is that, you should go to the doctor, obviously, and you should get treatment as soon as possible if you think something's wrong. But in terms of impacting what happens, we really need to know about that a lot earlier, before the symptoms even start. And so we actually promote genetic testing. So we have a free genetic testing. It's like a little quiz on our website. Our website is ocrahope.org, and people can go and take the quiz. It's about risk. It doesn't mean that you don't have risk if you don't pass the quiz, but you should still talk to your doctor if you're worried. But anyway, we have free genetic testing kits that we give out. So that's important, because about 20% of ovarian cancer is genetic, 80% isn't, or we don't know yet. But I mean, that's important. And also just knowing your family's history, and not just with breast cancer and ovarian, but also uterine cancer or colon cancer or pancreatic cancer. So if you have those cancers in your family, you should have conversations about that with, asking. Sometimes people don't know what their relatives had. Oh, grandma passed away from cancer, but they don't know what kind. And I think those are important conversations for families. And then take that to your doctor, and they may refer you to a genetic counselor and just talk to you about it.
It's funny. A lot of people feel that they have, family armor where, if no one in my family has had cancer, I'm safe from cancer. I saw a statistic once that 90% of people who get cancer are the first people in their family who get cancer.
That's right.
There's no real protection there. But it's always good to know that genetic risk.
And I was just going to say, there are. And with ovarian, there is actually something that you can do if you think you're at risk and if your doctor deems you at risk. There's something called opportunistic self-injectomy. And what that means is the removal of the fallopian tubes if you're having another pelvic surgery. So if you're past your childbearing years or aren't intending to have children, you can remove your fallopian tubes safely and leave the ovaries intact. And most, if not all, ovarian cancer actually starts in the fallopian tubes. So if someone's going in to have their tubes tied, for example, a tubal ligation, you can actually ask for them to be removed. And many places do that already. It's becoming standard of care, but it's not standard of care everywhere. So that's something we would want people to know. Just discuss it with your doctor.
It's interesting that some forms of cancer, I know some people take fighting breast cancer who have a lot of genetic markers for breast cancer will have the breast removed just to remove the opportunity of developing. I know that seems a little extreme, but the reality is you can, it's almost like preventative medicine. If you're not going to use the fallopian tubes or your ovaries anymore, why have a risk? It's something that at least is worthy of a conversation.
That's right.
It's
worthy of the conversation. That's right. That's
absolutely.
Right.
Well, again, where can people go to get information if they want to get information? Because even if you're a guy out there, I'm sure you have a wife, maybe sisters, moms, daughters. Where can people go to get the information and the at least take some of that initial testing to make sure that you kind of give yourself the best chance to be ready to fight this in case?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, and I will point out, too, men should, you know, think about that as well, because actually men or women can carry the BRCA gene, which is one of the genes that confers risk for ovarian cancer. So you can just go to our website, ocrahope.org, and you can just do a search for genetic testing, and it'll come right up.
Once again, Audra Moran, President and CEO of the Ovarian Cancer Research Alliance. Congrats. With Microsoft AI and launching this global grant to address survival rates of ovarian cancer, great work, and thanks for the information.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Broadcasting Boston's best variety.